Thank you for tuning in to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now, here's this week's message.
The title of my message is The Diversity of Grace. And I think every now and then it's good for us to preach. And it seems necessary to preach about the word that seems to be twisted in it. In its full meaning in just about every generation, somewhere along that line, the word grace gets twisted, and the meaning of grace and the confidence that we take in, and also even the security we take in grace sometimes. So I think it's good to cover it every now and then. We all know the scripture that usually gets twisted, and we find it in Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 8 and 9, it says, "For by grace you have been saved, and through faith, that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." And we know that that scripture is twisted around many times, and to make the meaning of it of what we want it to be. So I want to just spend some time this morning talking about that. The scripture is used many times to oppose any holiness preaching. Any holiness preaching. Now, if you're familiar, if you've been in the Pentecostal realm long enough, holiness is talking about living your life separated unto God, living your life out of sin. And so a lot of times this is, the scripture is used to oppose any of that. Preaching of you can lose your salvation preaching, or even lordship preaching, when you preach that, hey, when you come into a relationship with God, he should become your Lord, Jesus Christ. And so a lot of times this is used in those manners. And how do you know it's still out there, Pastor? I see it all the time. I see posts, I see videos, and I see arguments and different things. So I want to preach something this morning about grace. The word grace, listen, the word grace is used 128 times in the New King James Version in the New Testament. Is a very valuable word, not only to the Christian, but it's also a valuable word to the sinner. If you look at the word grace in the New Testament, you will find it is used in many different ways. Yet out of 120 times it is used, 127 of them are the same Greek word charis. So it is very clear that grace can be relevant into different areas of our life. All through our lives in different places. But listen, D.L. Moody says this. D.L. Moody gives us a good word about grace. He says, "A man can no more take in a supply of grace for the future than he can eat enough today to last him for the next 6 months, or take sufficient air into his lungs at once to sustain life for a week to come. We must draw upon God's boundless stores of grace from day to day as we need it." D.L. Moody said that. Listen, grace is a very interactive word to the user. Grace is interactive in our life, meaning that involving the actions or input of a user, especially of relating to or being a two-way electronic communication, when we're talking about the user, grace is something that we need in our life day in and day out. Not just one time. Grace is something that God has given us to sustain us from when we get out of bed and when we go to bed and even when we're sleeping. Amen. Grace is way more than what people want to argue about it. Grace is something more powerful in our life than what many will say it is. Grace holds the power of God in it. And sometimes we act like it doesn't have anything, hardly any power at all. So this morning I want to take time and use a simple acrostic message on the word grace, and just kind of talk about some things about grace, because I believe we need to get back to what it says. The first thing that I want us to understand, grace is given by God freely. Grace is given by God freely. We do nothing to earn it. It wasn't because you were so good looking that you got it. Or it wasn't because you was born into a certain family that grace came to you. Grace is there. The dictionary says this, that is free and unmerited favor of God has manifested in the salvation of sinner and the transfer of blessing. Now don't forget the transfer of blessing in this message. It is literally God's gift to us. Grace is God's gift. Without grace, you would never get saved. I'm just saying. And listen, what makes it beautiful is God chose to give it to us even in our sinful lives. How many of you think you deserved it? This is not what it talks about. It was given to us. It was a gift from God. A gift from who? The creator of all mankind. He says, I'm going to give grace. It was free and give it. He chose to give it to all, not just to certain people, not just to the Jew or to the Gentile, but to every human being that has been born. God has chosen to give grace. Sometimes we get to thinking that we are better than other folks. Let me tell you, God does not see that. Amen? God sees creation. He doesn't see color of skin. He sees creation. He sees Gentile. He sees Jew. And he says, I'm giving my grace to both. Jesus says, I've come to make the two one. To break down the division. Christ has come for all of us. It confused some of the Old Testament prophets when they would write and Christ would say something about offering a salvation unto the Gentiles and they didn't quite get that. But Jesus came and made it very clear, hallelujah, amen, that he brought salvation to all and the grace comes to every individual. It's to influence our lives. Favor is an act of kindness beyond what is due or usual in our life. God gives us favor through that grace. When you look at the word in the Strong's, it says it's a graciousness or a manner of act, literally, figurative, or spiritual, especially the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life, including gratitude. In other words, what the word means is something from heaven comes down and starts to influence my life for God. He influences my heart. Not only at time of salvation, but he influences me after salvation. Come on now, he doesn't just bring you to the altar and influence you that moment. He continually does that through grace. And everything that we do, God is present. He's there at that moment. Listen, Luke 2, verse 40. Says, and the child grew, talking about Christ after he left the temple and was found by his parents, and they took him home to grow him up. And it says, the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. And listen to what it says, and the grace of God was upon him. The grace of God was upon who? Christ himself. The very divine influence from above, my friend, was upon our Christ and Savior, Jesus Christ, from a boy all the way up. The Holy Ghost was upon him. The grace of God was upon him, and it was an influence into his life. Come on, you ever hear a voice every now and then that you think, okay, I hear what I'm supposed to do? I mean, that's God. That's God's grace in your life working. It comes to influence us. Grace is more than salvation, according to this verse. Jesus had no need of salvation. He is the way, he is the life. He was born sinless. He was incarnated. The Father, the Holy Spirit conceived. Or Mary conceived by the Holy Spirit. Let me get that right. The fact is this. He had no need of salvation, but the grace of God was upon him, my friend. Why do we not think the grace of God does not need to be upon us after salvation? It needs to be working in our lives. The grace of God. The influence of God many times speaks of the Holy Spirit speaking to us in our lives. the grace. The next thing that we find here about grace, it's reigning in righteousness. Reigning in righteousness, reigning. We're not familiar with that word much in our Western culture, but to reign means that we're coming one day, Jesus is going to reign in the new millennium period. And when we talk about reigning, it just does not quite get a hold of us because we're very independent people in the Western culture. We don't like anybody to tell us what to do or when to do it. But listen, when it comes to the Spirit of God, we've got to change our attitude. When it comes to the grace of God, we've got to change our attitude. Because I want you to just look at this just for a moment about the grace of God that comes. We have a warning from Jude concerning twisting grace. Jude 3 and 4 says, "Dear friends, I have been eagerly planning to write to you about the salvation we all share, but now I find that I must write about something else. Urging," could you advance that screen there in the back? "Urging you to defend the faith that God has entrusted once for all to his holy people. I say this because some ungodly people have wormed," listen to this, "some ungodly people have wormed their way into your churches." Wormed your way into the churches. "Saying that God's mark," listen to what they're saying. This is straight out of scripture. Why do we argue about this? Listen, it says they have wormed their way into your churches, saying God's marvelous grace allows us to live immoral lives. That's what the Word of God says. "The condemnation of such people were recorded long ago, for they have denied our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ." Listen to what Jude's telling them in your congregation, in your church body. Listen, there are thousands of local church bodies meeting today. Amen? But we're all one church if we're washed in the blood of Jesus. But he's talking to the literally church bodies that meet, like we are meeting this morning, and he's talking to them. He's saying, did you know Paul wrote to churches? He wrote to local congregation bodies. And he says to them, there have been people that have wormed their way, and they're teaching us that although we got grace, it's just to cover us with the blood of Christ, once saved, whatever, and it tells us that we can do whatever we want to. It does not demand a change. But Jude says, listen, such teaching has been condemned. Such people have been condemned. Why? Because they're leading God's people astray. Grace does not give us permission to live immoral lives, but grace does not do that. Grace does not cover us in immoral lives. Jude is saying what they're teaching you is false. I don't know about you, and I know if I ask you this morning, how many have had somebody tell you, well, you live like you want because grace has got you covered? That is totally against God's word. I'm going to believe Jude before I believe one of them. It speaks of this. Paul was very clear of the environment that grace reigns in. If we're living in sin, grace is not reigning. But if we are living like God would have, Romans 6:1 says this, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" No, certainly not, is what Paul says. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in sin? So there's a different environment that we are to live in. Romans 6:14, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are under the law, but under grace." Look at that. When I read that, I think there's a new sheriff in town. That's my Western talk. And the new sheriff in town for the Christian is that we live by grace. We live under grace now, what grace teaches us and what grace will be in our life. There's something new that takes place. "Do you not know that whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are the one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thankful that through you were though you were slaves to sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that formed from doctrine to which you are delivered, and having been set free from sin, you became, listen to what it says, listen to this, slaves of righteousness. We have now changed. Something has happened in us that causes us to start living righteous lives. Are you perfect instantly? No, but there's something that's going to be working in our lives as we live, no matter how long you live. Grace is always going to be there as the sheriff of righteousness in our lives. It will never encourage you to sin. Grace is not about sinning, but grace is about coming out of sin and living a life unto God, a life of holiness unto the Lord. That's what grace speaks of. Listen to what it says in Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, by the offense of one judgment came all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounds, grace did much more. In other words, where sin was ruling, now grace will rule much more. It's not that you get more grace because you sin more. The fact is that grace should be ruling in your life before you sin. That's what it's speaking of. It's talking about God working, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace, listen to that, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto the eternal life by Christ Jesus. Grace does not reign in an environment of sin. That's what the scripture says. If we're sinning, we are slaves to sin. But if we are living righteous, grace rules in a righteous environment. Listen, when we start to struggle in sin, we need to get down on our knees and start going after God more and say, God, I need your grace. I need your influence. I need your power, hallelujah, to come out. That's where grace rules, in an atmosphere of righteousness. Grace does his job and his work in the Christian's life. But listen, you know, it's simple as this. I have noticed, I drive from my house. I'm about 3 miles from here. It's not that bad in my car or pickup. But if I ride my bike, that's a long ways. But I've noticed, I have people just walk out in front of me while I'm driving that four-door GMC pickup, and they act like I'm not even there. It happens to me all the time. And literally, if I was a man to be texting while I'm driving, I could run over somebody real easily. But you know what I found out? They could care less about the rules and the laws. And what am I saying? They are totally against what is right for them. And oftentimes when we talk about an environment or ruling, and grace can never rule in a Christian's life or a person that calls themselves Christian that pays no attention to what God's word says and how we're to live. Amen. We're just waiting for a wreck. We're waiting for something to wipe us out, because literally what takes place is when I wait, you know, I'm one of those guys that if it doesn't say a go across, now I may if nobody's coming, but I'm waiting for that hand to change. I believe the rules and the laws are good for people. Robin and I almost seen somebody get ran over in a wheelchair down on Boulevard going after some kids this morning. Why? Because they just went right across and everybody had to stop. Light was green, everybody's holding up for them. I'm believing in the environment that we're talking about. We want grace to rule more in our life. We need an environment of obedience unto God, an environment of righteousness. My righteousness comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, he wants me to live holy. And when I'm living and doing what I'm supposed to do in God, his grace is going to be in my life to give me the strength to overcome things in my life. He rules in righteousness. He reigns in righteousness. That's the environment he works in. Paul speaking to the Galatians who were saved by grace through faith, yet some Judaizers came in instructing them that they needed to keep the law for full salvation. Can I say you can't add things to what it is for salvation? You are saved by grace through faith. Don't leave faith out. But that is not the end of it. You have a new sheriff in town. Grace. Galatians 5:4, listen to what he says. You have been estranged from Christ. You attempt to be justified now by law, and you have fallen. Listen to what it says. Don't argue about you can't fall from grace, because the Word of God says this. You have fallen from grace. Now, how simple does that get? There's really no room to argue about that. What? Falling from God's divine influence in your life. Falling from grace having an effect on you. Why? Because now they're saying Jesus was not enough. So grace rules in an environment of righteousness. And I'm going to tell you, Isaiah said something about yours and my righteousness. They're like filthy rags. My righteousness comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. And he is all I need to be saved. Amen. And grace starts to take over there. It starts to rule in our life and starts to do something with our life. Next thing I want you to look at is active in the believers. Grace is active in the believer. I think this, and you know, in difficult times, I thank God. When things are tough in our lives, when I don't know what to do, when it seems like everything is chaotic, I can know this much, that grace is active in difficult times in my life. Grace is there for me. 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. What is he saying to Paul? Paul has what many would say a thorn in his side. Just about everywhere he would go to preach the word of God, they would literally run him out of town, beat him up if they could catch him. I'm telling you, Paul had a difficult life. And he's saying, God, remove this from me. Now, I've had argument. Oh, I didn't argue long. I don't argue long when it comes to the word. You got your opinion, I got mine. Let's go on. And I said that to a guy one time. He said, I'm not going to go, you know, you've heard it. Well, let's just agree to disagree. This guy told me, I'm not agreeing with you on anything. So he didn't like what I had to say, I guess. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you, and I've argued, everybody, you can argue all you want about the thorn that was in Paul's side, but I'm going to tell you, it doesn't really matter. We get sidetracked on, but we need to understand and see what's important about the story is whatever it was that was so difficult in Paul's life, God says, I'm going to leave it there, but I'm going to give you the grace to overcome it, a grace to go through. I don't know where you're at this morning, but if you need some grace, I want to encourage you to seek God in the spirit of it, or in the environment of righteousness, and let God's grace come down and help you. He didn't say, I'm going to deliver you, but he says, I've got a grace enough for you to make it through. It could be like one of those times, I don't know about you, have you ever just been down in the dumps and you go and you got a situation going on, you go and pray, nothing has changed in that, but all of a sudden you got a different attitude toward it. Amen? You've had a moment of conversation with God, but it talks about grace helping us in difficult times. In our development, you know, it says in 1 Corinthians 15:10, I'm sorry I don't have the scriptures up there. I figured y'all could use your Bibles. You look those up, but I'll read them for you. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but listen to this, but the grace of God, which was within me. Development. We call that, we can say, in our discipleship, in our growing. Now, I've realized in my life, I probably reached my height. Amen. And I can't tell you exactly when that was. I evidently haven't reached my weight yet. But I reached my height a long time ago. And it may have been somewhere in high school. I'm not sure exactly where it was when I quit going taller. But I'm going to tell you, and we all understand that in our physical bodies, that we have reached that moment of development. But there's something I want to tell you something this morning, is you never reach your full maturity walking for Christ. You never get to be, I have arrived. Because listen, when you get to where you're thinking you have arrived, you're going to have a setback. A lot of times, we had a devotion from Brother Beaver. He's still sending them out on Sunday morning. And he talked about the fact that Doug Clay said this, when we think that we have arrived, then we better watch out because we've lost our hunger, and be careful because other things are going to change in our life. I'm going to just say this to you this morning. We must be growing in our word, or growing in our walk with God. There's going to be overcoming moments in our life even as we get old. You can ask some of us that's been around long enough, and you young folks, and say, hey, it looks like you've got it all made. I'm going to tell you, I struggle every day. I struggle every week. There's still things I have to overcome. But I'm going to tell you, we have not fully developed until Jesus calls us home. And then we will be like him, what the Word of God says. But until then, there's going to be somebody that rubs you like sandpaper. Until there's going to be somebody in your family going to give you a hard time. Until there's going to be temptation. But I'm going to tell you what Paul is saying to this. He says, listen, it was by the grace of God that I was born again, or born into the family of God. Grace has brought you in. But he says, grace has developed me. He's helped me to grow. He's helped me to be who God wants me to be. There's got to be always hunger in the child of God. Grace has got to be there to influence and help us to develop and be the men and women that God wants us to be. Because we will be growing, thank God. Hallelujah, that we can become the men and women that he wants us to be. Because he said, his grace toward me was not in vain. Come on, you know when it becomes vain is when we don't listen. When we don't pay attention. It's when we become like the husband in the relationship. Huh? What? My wife's laughing at me. You know, when we quit listening to the Holy Spirit, that grace that works in our life, it's then that we have to continue to accomplish. But Paul said, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me has labored abundantly. Now think about that. The grace of God is laboring abundantly in us to become the men and women that he wants us to be. There'll always be something. You know, in our gifts giving, in Ephesians 4:7, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. God, if God's given you a gift, he's going to give you the grace to operate in the gift. Amen? I've always heard that if God's called you, he'll take good care of you. He'll meet the needs, and sometimes it may look very, very slim, but keep serving God because God's going to be there for you. If you're gifted to sing, can I tell you, and if you just don't feel like you want to sing, trust God. His grace will help you. Now, some of you, it's going to take an abundance of grace. But I just want to encourage you, whatever gift God has given you, he's given you the grace to perform it. He's given you the power to perform it. Step out in confidence. I used to be scared to death to speak to people. Now you can't get me to shut up. Hallelujah. And I just say the grace of God is there to help you out. Some of you are gifted and you're thinking, well, I'm just scared to do it. Step out and do it. Trust God. The grace is there for you to get it accomplished. He's there in our speech. Colossians 4, verse 6 says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may, salt is to preserve, to heal, that you may know how to answer each other. Seasoned with grace. When I was on Twitter, is that what that used to be called? I sent President Trump a message. And it was that scripture right there. Because he may need a little grace in what he says. He may need a lot of grace, right? We're not streaming today, so I can just be free. I'm just saying we need grace in our words. We have a difficult time knowing what to say. Does it seem like what you say or I say offends a person? Maybe we need the grace of God to help us to know exactly how to go about it. You know, sometimes just because you are aware of a situation doesn't mean you just need to step in without thinking. If you're like me, sometimes my mouth engages way before my brain does. I got three of you, four of you know exactly what I just said. And sometimes we need to step back and let God, okay, God, I do not know what to say in this situation. As a pastor, I've had a lot of situations. I don't know what to say in that particular moment. But if I've learned, if I'll just take time and say, God, give me the grace. God, help me to know what to say. It seems to be a lot better by just waiting for God. Why? Because he says he will give me grace for my tongue. Grace is so, there's such a diversity. Grace in our ministry. 1 Thessalonians 5:28, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Who's he talking? He's talking to the church of Thessalonica, and he's saying, in their ministry, may God's grace be with you in what you do. Sunday school teachers, may God's grace be with you in what you teach. Royal Rangers, missionettes, may God's grace. Parents, may God's grace be in with you as you teach. How many know parenting is a ministry? Amen? God put those little people in your house to raise them up according to God's word. I'm just saying today, God's grace can be with us in our ministry. You know, we're not just totally left alone over here at San Jacinto. Why? Because grace is among us. His grace can help us. May it be there. Moving on. Classes in session. Now, I want you to think about this just for a moment. It's been a long time since I've been in class. Don't care to go back to class. I just figure if I go get my doctorate or whatever in theology, all it's going to look good is on my tombstone. So, I'm just going forward. Grace teaches us to live holy. I talked about righteousness earlier. Titus 2:11 and 12. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing for our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for him his own people, zealous for good works. Now listen to what it talks about. Classes in session. It says in Titus, it says, grace teaches us to live holy. How does that happen? How many of you ever heard that little voice in your head when you're trying to make a decision? Grace teaches us, helps us to know the right thing to do. Grace teaches us to live holy. What is holy? You know, we become holy when we ask God and we come into a right relationship through faith. We get there because grace took us there. But we become holy. Listen, I know that's not that I'm such a holy person, but now I've been set aside for God. Now I'm set aside for God in salvation. Now grace starts to teach me how to live my life for God. It starts to teach me to live holiness. I'm going to tell you something, and I want you to get a hold of this. You want more power in your life? Let grace teach you to live more holy. God occupies those places that are surrendered to him. God occupies that vessel in power. I don't have to be the only one that prays for somebody up here. Oh, that somebody would just be used by God to lay hands on them and they get well, that's fine with me, amen? I'm just saying it's not limited to whoever's on the platform. What happens, grace teaches us to live holy, and God uses holy vessels to do his work. And that's the teaching that God does, or the Holy Spirit does, through grace in our life to live holy lives. There's certain things in our lives. Have you ever been convicted about something? You know what? Grace is trying to teach us. Sitting through a movie that has just filthy language are different things. And one moment he tries to teach you. But let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is a very, very much a gentleman. The teaching class, he wants us to obey the first time. Grace is there for all of us to learn to be holy in our life. You know, in the church world today, holiness is something that many people don't want to hear anything about. But I believe with my heart that when we start to live holy lives, God starts to change people around us. There's inlets, there's power, there's things that come through living for holiness. So grace teaches us to live holy. Holy is not a bad word. Amen? It's not a bad word at all. Holiness brings power into our lives. The last thing this morning is eternal life's key. Eternal life's key. We find Titus chapter 2, verse 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. I want us all to understand this morning. I agree absolutely. Because even in Ephesians it says this, 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest you boast. I agree fully that I could not have been saved without grace. I believe with all my heart that if it wasn't for God's grace, I'd still be that man living in sin. There's no telling where I would be if it wasn't for the grace of God. But the grace of God came down upon me. There's no way that a person can be saved without that grace. Because see, the nature of man, we were talking just the other day at Wednesday night about the millennium period, 1,000 years, and at the end of that, the devil's been locked up all that time, but at the end of that, the enemy has been released, and men immediately gather up an army and come against Christ once again in Jerusalem. Why is that? Because the nature of man is bad. The nature of man, Jesus said, or the Father said that before the flood. But understand this. If it's up to you and me, we would have went on life and never gave God a thought. Oh, we may have resurrected, or not resurrected, but erected a piece of wood to give somebody praise. But the grace of God is how we did get saved. I don't know where you were at when you started feeling the grace of God work in your life. Maybe you was in a church service, or maybe you were out on the street. Maybe you were in the lowest point of your life and God's grace came down in that room, wherever you may have been, but grace came. And grace started to work through the Holy Spirit of revealing that where you were at and where God wanted to bring you. And it's that moment that the Word of God became so true, so convincing because of the convicting power of the Holy Spirit through the grace of God, that you had a measure of faith that God has given every human being, and you stepped out by faith believing Jesus was the Lord Savior. That's how we got saved. So yes, I believe grace is very essential to salvation, because without it, none of us would be saved. But at that moment, life started to change, because once we receive it, grace comes down and we receive the Lord, oh, I could preach a long time. Because when we talk about Lord, that says my life has come under Jesus Christ. Now grace is going to be there to influence me. It's like, come on, guys, it's like having your mama in your ear 24/7. Don't do that. Or maybe it's like having a dad in your ear. Don't do that. Remember, you're a Snyder. I'm trying to forget, Dad. No, just kidding. It's just like having that. Grace is there through the Holy Spirit speaking to us. You know who speaks to you in the morning that says, oh, I can skip my Bible reading today? You know who speaks to you? That's the flesh talking. Oh, I can skip prayer today. I'm going to tell you, the flesh has nothing to do with the things of God. Have you noticed that? Just listen to him for a day or two. But when grace is speaking, Holy Spirit speaking to us, is to help us develop and to grow in God. It takes us. It's an amazing to me. That's why I titled the message, The Diversity of Grace. Because grace is there when we get saved. Grace is there with us each and every day. Oh, I pray here, God, give us the grace, Lord, to do what you need us to do at San Jacinto Assembly of God. Give us the grace. Give us the grace to accomplish. Folks, get it in your vocabulary. Amen. Get it in your thoughts. Oh, God, give me the grace to do this. Oh, God, give me the grace to overcome. Let it be part of that. Becky, if you'll come this morning. Hey, guys back there in the booth, can y'all find me Amazing Grace on the screen? To me, it's an amazing thing. Grace is amazing. We have so many things in the toolbox that God gives us. I want you to open it this morning and pull out that grace and start letting it be part of your everyday life. Everyday life. Oh, God, give me grace to live in an environment of righteousness. Give me the grace to be an overcomer. Amen. Amazing grace. God's grace. Oh, give me the grace not to say what I want to say. Yeah, sometimes, like I told y'all that I had to post, I had to tape my fingers sometimes so I don't say what I want to say on Facebook. I'm going to tell you, grace is there. Grace is there. Come on, folks, we need to. God has given us so much. Paul, you read the book of Ephesians. God, just read what God has given you as a Christian. Read it, the power. We live in heavenly places. We may be stuck in Amarillo, but we live in heavenly places. It's time to walk like heavenly people and use what heavenly people use, the power that God gives us to overcome each and every day. I don't know what you're going through, but I can tell you this morning, grace unto you. Grace unto you, because God's grace is enough to get you through.